Well, welcome to First Fruits Sunday, and I just know that the Holy Spirit is in the house and He's wanting to do something great in your life today. And towards the end of the service, we'll be taking up our First Fruits offering. It's a time where once a year we really just get behind the mission strategy, global mission strategy of Inspired Church, knowing that what we do makes a difference in the kingdom of God and people's lives. Can I get an amen? And with that, can I encourage you that missions giving is not just a once a year exercise, but you can do that monthly and maybe chat with your spouse and keep it in prayer to see how you can be part of making a difference in someone else's life. And that is such a good thing. And I know that as we sow into other people's lives, I know that you're going to reap significant yield of blessings both now and eternity in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, over the past few weeks at Inspired Church, we've been focusing on our core values. And our core values are, in essence, the DNA of our church. You know, we've been preaching through a couple of the core values. And I pray that more than core values that are preached about and spoken about from the pulpit, I pray that you catch the wind of what is happening in these core values and you apply them to your life. Who knows that, you know, that it's one thing to hear, but it's another thing to apply. Come on, amen. There is something about application that makes a difference in our lives. And if you've missed a couple of what we've been speaking about the past few weeks, you can catch up or you can revisit the messages that are on our YouTube channel. And I pray it's a blessing to you. And maybe even share those messages with a friend. Maybe there's someone in your family or in your friendship circle that needs to hear what's happening in this place. In Jesus' name. Today, I'll be focusing on one of our other core values, and that is called generosity. And today's title is called Generosity, the Power to a Difference. Over the past, you know, when we look at words and when we hear them, we automatically can associate certain things, certain memories based on a word. The word generosity can be one of those words. Maybe when you hear that word here or spoken, maybe you associate that automatically with finance. Yes, finance has something to do with it, but did you realize that generosity is so much more than money? Come on. Amen. It is so much more. In fact, when the word is applied correctly, it makes a tangible difference in the lives of our lives and in the lives of others. We see it in Scripture that the Holy Spirit has His fingers throughout the Word of God, and we see that this is applicable not just in the Old Testament, but in the New. And there's something that is so important that's carried throughout the theme of Scripture and how we can be people that make a difference for the kingdom of God. But the question is, where does generosity start? Well, generosity starts in our heart. It's a decision that is made by an individual that they are going to make a tangible difference in the course of someone else's life. Yes, sometimes there might be a cost. Yes, sometimes it is big. Yes, it could be expensive. But did you know that when you impact someone else's life, when you sit back and look at the difference that it makes, you sit back and you realize, you know what, that expense, it was so worth it. There are some things money can't buy. Come on, hear me out this morning. There are some things that money can't buy. And generosity is something that we all have an opportunity to exercise and practice in Jesus' name. Do not be somebody that hears the word generosity and just leaves it on a shelf, but take generosity with you when you go to work. Amen. Take generosity when you go to school. Take generosity out into your neighbors, into the sporting field, or when you walk on the factory floor, or maybe when you meet a client. Matthew 6:21 says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." What's happening here in Matthew? Jesus is saying what you value, what you see is important, is strongly connected to what is really in your heart. That is why you can tell what people's interests are at by looking at their bank statement or looking at their diary. Come on, can I hear an amen today? Because your heart is reflected in things. Because that's where your treasure is. What you see and value is important. Let me ask you today, what do you see and value as important? Let me ask you this morning, online, is making a difference in people's lives important to you? Do you really believe that today? So the question is, what does generosity do to us? You need to understand something. Generosity not just impacts us, others, and it does, but there's also direct impact that happens in our lives. Come on, can I hear an amen today? Because the pipe that delivers the water from one location to another always gets wet first. Think about that. The pipe that is delivering water from one location to another always gets wet first. So what does generosity do to us? The first thing generosity does, it exercises our faith in God. People who are generous are generally people who don't hold on to things too tightly. Come on. They're generally people who don't hold on to things too tightly. They are able to let go easily. I think the challenge can be sometimes when you get stuff, are you a person that hangs on? Or you're a person that freely lets go? Are you a person that has the fist tight or maybe have an open hand? There is something that happens in our life, and if we want to see the supernatural hand of God, we need to be people who have an open hand. Can I hear an amen today? Because whatever you loosed on earth, come on, is loosed in heaven. So there's a correlation to the supernatural when we do something in the natural. Because really supernatural is really God putting his anointing upon what you do. So when you release and you open up your hand and you open up your heart and you open up your life and you open up your mind, you allow people into that space, you are actually making room for the supernatural grace of God to be active and applied, and you can see it with your eyes in Jesus' name. The reason why generous people generally don't hold on to things too tightly because they understand their reliance is not based on what they've done. Their reliance is based on God. Let me ask you today, where is your reliance based on? Is it reliance in your pay packet? Come on. Is your reliance based on what you do and what people say about you? Or is it based on the Word of God? Come on. We need to be people who understand that our supply is not wrapped up in our pay packet. Our supply is wrapped up in God. Proverbs 11:24 says this, there is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds, listen to this part, more than what is right. Now, obviously, we understand that when we're generous with people, we're not silly. Come on. There needs to be wisdom. There needs to be prudence. There needs to be a bit of intelligence and a bit of thought and a bit of, you know, thinking, well, what's going to happen? But notice how in Proverbs 11, it says here, and there is one who withholds more than what is right. Where's the fine line of more than what is right? But listen to this. But leads to what? Poverty. We see in Proverbs that King Solomon wrote out a principle that was divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't inspired by the venison that his, you know, archers would have caught on that day or a wild beast that he was having meat for dinner. No. We've got to understand something. When something is written in the Word of God, it is divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's like God was getting a pen and actually writing down the secrets of heaven and the opportunity that we have that if we take and apply, we can receive everything that heaven says we can receive in Jesus' name. There are people in the house today, you are too tight. You are hanging on and you are wondering why you're not receiving something from God. It's not that God is stingy. I'm half Italian, so I'm going somewhere with this. I know. You know what's funny? The Italians, they know. They understand. Some of us today, we want to see the supernatural hand of God, but really, you know where the blockage is? It's not God. Come on. Whatever you loosed on earth will be what? There's something of a loosening that happens when we let go. In Jesus' name. He reminds us through the text that our decision to live beyond ourselves does attract the blessing and the hand of God. And how is that? When you pour into someone else, into someone else that God has allowed, listen carefully. God has put people in your world. God has put you in a certain workplace. God has positioned you in maybe in your soccer team or in your workplace because there is an opportunity that he's giving you to exercise generosity in Jesus' name. When we pour, we are positioning ourselves to receive more from God. But when we give what God has given us, we are putting a demand on our faith that is rooted in God and that he is able to supply all of my needs. Because my pay packet doesn't supply my needs. My God supplies my needs. Come on, can I hear an amen today? So really, in essence, generosity opens up the doorway to the supernatural provision of God. Pastor James, I want to see the supernatural provision of God. Well, maybe it's time to start opening up our heart a little bit more. Come on. Come on. Why would God give more if we can't give more? That's almost tweetable. When we are generous with our words, with people, it softens their heart to be generous with words with you. If you want to have good friends, be a good friend to somebody. If you want to make a difference in your soccer team, be kind to somebody. Buy them a coffee. Do something. Make a difference in Jesus' name. Because when you are doing it, you are making way for the Holy Spirit to touch that person and make a difference. The second thing generosity does to us, it opens up opportunity to receive. Receive from who? Receive from God and from people, I might add. Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul will be what? Made rich. And he who waters will also be watered himself. You know, when you hear the word rich, sometimes you can associate that with finance, but really when you look at its meaning, it means this, to have a particular thing in large amounts. It doesn't say have a stack load of cash. Talking about a particular thing in large amounts. That's why you can be rich in wisdom. Come on, amen. You can be rich in knowledge. Amen. But you know what? I love what James says, pray for wisdom. It's no good being rich in knowledge if you don't have wisdom, the ability to apply what you know. Come on. You can be rich in family. You can be rich in loving others. You can be rich in joy. And that doesn't happen by accident. It happens when we give. The more you give, the more you give of what God has given you, the more you give of the talent and the love and the support that God has poured into your life, the more you will receive from God that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all you can ask or think in Jesus' name. So really the word generous means this, showing readiness, in other words, being ready to give more of something that is strictly, more than what's strictly necessary or expected. Let me tell you, how do people view you when you walk into the workplace? Oh, he's up there, James again. Oh, this guy. I thought you were saved, bro. What do people expect when you walk into the workplace? You know, I'm fortunate enough to... I get to work at church. It's such an honor and a privilege to work in this beautiful house and to serve you beautiful people. And when I walk into the office on a Monday morning, I see our amazing team who, by the way, they are the best. I'm just going to call it out there today. They are the best. Yeah. I mean, you can be generous with your clap. I mean, I don't know. I'm talking about generosity here. Yeah. Be generous with your clap. But when I walk into the office and I see Gabby, you know, who does an amazing job with our youth ministry and it's growing and God's touching young people and it's so fantastic. You know, what I expect when I walk into the office, I see this wonderful lady. You know what I see? I see someone who genuinely loves God, come on, is excited about the mission, who's ready to work her guts out. Can I even say that in church? She's ready to work her guts out. She's a hardworking woman and makes a difference in people's lives. What do people, come on. What do people expect when they get in contact with you? Come on. Are we a Scrooge? Scrooge with our words? Come on, a Scrooge? Let's look at scriptural context here. Someone who's ready to give more than necessary or expected will be given large amounts of a particular thing. That's scriptural context for Proverbs 11:25. Let's look at Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to who? You. You know, there's been often times in my life where I've really done a bit of a stretch. I've stretched the budget, trying to make a difference in people's lives, stretched the diary. And sometimes I've gone to a place where it's like, oh God, I really don't want to have to explain to Diane why we're stretching this the way we are. But let me tell you, every time I've stretched, God has been faithful. Come on. God is no man's debtor. Come on. God is no man's debtor. He does what he does. He is who he is. And he does what he says he's going to do. So sometimes you might feel like the budget is stretched. The diary's stretched. Your mind is stretched. Your heart is stretched. Let me tell you something today. God is able to supply all your needs from his riches and glory. Can I hear an amen today? A mentor many years ago taught me something which I will never forget. He said, James, the area that you are lacking in and that you're needing God to move in, be someone that sows into someone else what you are needing. And he said to me this, James, I want you to know why. Because there needs to be a point in your life where you need to tell your heart that your supply doesn't come from your own resources, it comes from him. There are people in the house today, you need to understand that your resource comes from him. Sometimes you need to tell your heart. Sometimes our mind can get caught up with all of these sort of things. But we need to know that God is able to supply in Jesus' name. The next thing and the last thing that generosity does for us is this: it expresses gratefulness. We are generous people because we are grateful people. Come on, who is grateful here today? They are people who have never forgotten what God has done. Come on, don't forget what God has done. Don't forget what God has done. There are people you realize and you recognize, if it hadn't been for the goodness of God, you would not even be here today. Come on. Come on. There are people, you shouldn't even be in church. You shouldn't even be saved. But God. But the goodness and the grace of God. The love of God. Now, I understand. I understand that, you know, when we drive our cars, that the windscreen is always bigger than the rearview mirror. We don't drive looking at the rearview mirror. We always drive moving forward. But maybe, there are people in the house today, you're too busy moving forward, and sometimes you need to look back and look in the rearview mirror and see the goodness of God and how good he's been to you. You need to stop and sit back and go, God, I just want to thank you. I just want to bless you. You've cleaned me up. You've helped me. You set me free. You've given me a spouse. You've given me a home. You've given me all these things. And so, God, I just want to take a moment and say that I am so grateful to you. Because of what you have done. And not that any amount of giving can ever substitute that. But if there's anything I can do, God, out of the little that I have, I just want to bless your name. And I just want to open up everything that I have to you. Because I realize and recognize that what I have is not my own. That what I have is because of you. You own everything that I have. You own me, God. Who am I to hold back to others? Luke 21 verse 1 says this: and he looked up, this is Jesus, and spoke to the rich, and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than them all. For all gave out of their abundance, had put offerings to God, but she has given out of her poverty and put in all of the livelihood she had. I mean, just think about it. How did a poor old widow make it into the Bible so that you and I can read about her story and the testimony that Jesus is speaking about here? Because maybe, just maybe, there is something powerful about this old widow that she gave and was generous even in her lack. That maybe without realizing it, as she gave with a heart of gratitude to God, she made room for God to move in her life, to touch her. Now, the Bible doesn't say it, but God is a considerate God. Come on. We don't leave our kids begging for bread. Same thing with God. Maybe without realizing it, she was taking an opportunity to exercise her faith in Jesus' name. Generosity, listen to this, is not an amount. Generosity is a state of our heart. Come on, I need someone to catch this morning. Generosity is not an amount. Generosity is a state of the heart. Let me ask you, what is the state of your heart? Are you grateful for what God has done? And that's what first fruits is all about. It's a time where we bring our first and our best to God, knowing that He will take care and bless the rest. In Jewish tradition, it was taken up once a year, and it was a sign to say, God, I am so grateful for everything that you've done for me, so take my offering today. Not that I could ever pay God. Not that I could ever tip God. There's nothing I can do in this lifetime or in a million lifetimes that could ever bless God for what He has done. But God, if there is anything that can happen, would you just take something of the substance that you have given me and allow me to give it back to you? Because I realize and recognize, God, that you own everything that I have. You even own my breath. You own me. And so, God, I just want to tell you that I bless you and I want to give back to you, realizing that you have been so, so good to me. In modern suburbia, you know, we might not have farms, but instead of bringing first fruits, you know, and if someone is getting 1.5 kilo mangoes, can you please give me a buzz after the service? I'd like to have a chat with you. That's generosity, amen. Come on, amen. But instead of bringing maybe fruit as such, our first fruits is maybe of our income, of our substance. We also bring the first fruits of our increase as a once a year offering to God and say, God, I just want to take a moment above my tithe, above anything else. Here's an offering to you because I just want to bless your name. I just want to thank you that I can even have what I have because of your goodness and your grace and your mercy.